Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Yay! It is Thursday night. It is October 7th. Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and we have an amazing, amazing show tonight. Boy, if there was ever a night where this show should be called another reality show, I would really say tonight is one of those really, really apropos nights. We are going to be diving into a very deep and personal subject, the subject of ayahuasca and the personal experiences people have had dancing, playing, battling, and surrendering to this amazing plant, this master plant. So I have it scheduled, so to speak. I'm hoping my friend James shows up. I was going to have him open up the show, but before he's not on the switchboard yet. But for now, let's just do the meditation that I've been doing every week because I need to calm down. I hope it calms you guys down. It clearly calms me down. So let's take a few deep breaths in. Nice centering breaths. Knowing that as we breathe in, we're inviting our presence, our higher self, our essence into our physical beings. It's an invitation. We are by no means begging or pleading our essence to come into our beings. We're simply inviting our essences in because our essence wants to be here right now. It wants to be physical. It wants to experience the physical dimension that we're in. This is the dimension that it's happening in, this transformation, the shifting, the bursting, the expanding, the explosiveness. It's all happening in this dimension, and our essence absolutely wants to experience this with us, and this is the lifetime that it's happening. So let's keep breathing in. Yes, this is for Goldie. Goldie, keep breathing in. I mean, it's so amazing, though. As soon as I start the breathing in with the intention that my essence join me, there's a warmth. There's a definite, tangible, calming presence that becomes my experience as soon as I do it. I mean, I'm doing my radio show almost 5 or 6 years. I don't even remember, and I definitely still get a little nervous, especially new topics, new experiences. But ever since I've been inviting my essence in, my presence, my own presence for the show is definitely more grounded. And this will happen for us anywhere we are, whether we're driving to an interview, going on a first date, anything we might be doing that, you know, we might be a little edgy or a little nervous or not so sure of, but having some doubt come in, breathe. You know, I'll tell you, as we start tonight and talk about ayahuasca, One of the things ayahuasca taught me so inexplicably and clearly was surrender, total surrender. The only way I danced with ayahuasca to my fullest potential was first I had to surrender. There was no telling ayahuasca, take me here because I say so. Oh, boy. Ayahuasca just looked at me and laughed and continued to make me nauseous. When I surrendered and did deep breathing, nothing else, I thought about nothing else, just deep breathing and the mantra, I surrender. Oh, my God. The space that opened up for me was so, so incredible. So absolutely beyond this dimension, beyond what I have ever experienced in any outer body transcendental experience. It was truly profound. And I feel genuinely blessed to have experienced it. Okay, we are 5 minutes into the show. I do not see James's number. I know his number, so what I'm going to do is I definitely want to share about my experience, but I'd like to do it kind of in a conversation mode. So I am going to welcome Nicole to the show. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Hi, Goldie.
Hi, love. Now, Nicole was with me this weekend. In fact, her partner was instrumental on the first night getting me to go back into ceremony because I'm going to share and then, you know, if you want to add anything, Nicole, please just feel free to add, you know, like a dialogue, you know, just between the two of us and, you know, the other however many people are listening.
For sure. Hello to all of you.
Pardon?
I said hello to everyone out there.
There you go, indeed. Nicole's beautiful. We actually sat very close to each other on both nights, and there really is it's a very personal experience, the ayahuasca. It's extraordinarily personal. In fact, I've always been told God is a personal experience, and I've never understood that from an experiential point of view so clearly as I did traveling and experiencing the ayahuasca, because the first night, I was pretty confident that, you know, when I first went into it, I mean, I was definitely nervous because it's such a deep experience, but I was pretty confident. In fact, we could probably even go a little bit more and say, Goldie was a little cocky, thinking I was going to see fractals, I was going to have, you know, the trip that was going to be to end all trips. You know, Goldie was going to rock and roll in a magical space. You know, I was going to down the rabbit hole with Alice, and I was totally confident. And it became rather clear within my time is such a, it's so slippery in these experiences. I don't know how long, but I would say within the first hour that I was tremendously nauseous. I was tremendously self-conscious. I don't want to say I was frightened. I wouldn't say I was frightened. I was frustrated, extremely, extremely frustrated. I felt like I had been dropped, and I'm going to be quite honest, I felt like I was being dropped in the pit of hell. Because there was puking going on everywhere. There was, I could smell it, I could taste it, I could hear it. And my body was so, I was so in my body. I mean, I was so in it. And I was like, well, everything I thought I was going to experience, none of that happened. And I went into this total self-pity party. Right there in my little, you know, 2x2 cubic space of the lawn chair. and it was, you know, it really was, when I purged, it's a very interesting thing because you drink, it's a molasses type of experience. You drink a very, very small dose, at least I did. And yet when I purged, I pretty much filled a bucket. And I was clearly getting that, you know, Goldie, you're purging 45 years worth of shit. And I really got that, you know, like, there was a point in time where I kind of surrendered in the sense of I knew I was purging, and it was clear to me that I wasn't going to go into the space I wanted to go. But there was visuals. I mean, and to be quite honest, they were – the shadows, you know, they were the bugs and the green monsters and, you know, the things that I've seen in TV shows, like the things from The Matrix. I saw a lot of bug-like mechanical things. And I wasn't afraid of it. I just was really personally disappointed that my insides for this experience weren't, you know, love and flutes and harps and angels. And, you know, I was like, I thought I had done the work, quote unquote, that I had already cleared that. And, you know, she graciously showed me that, well, this is what I got. It was in my cells. You know, these are years of drugs, smoking cigarettes. And it's not even just that. I could tell in my cells, thought patterns were also connected to my cellular experience. Guilt and shame definitely showed up as a, almost like an archetypical bug. I knew it was more than just physical toxins. It was emotional toxin. And like I said, guilt and shame became the mental and or emotional. And by the end of the night, I must say, I felt lighter. But as soon as the ayahuasca and closed the ceremony, I literally grabbed my pillow, grabbed my thing, and went straight to my tent. I didn't want to associate with anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I felt basically like a train had run over me and just left my body, you know, in a space of exhaustion, but I felt cleared. But I tell you, as soon as I left the first ceremony, I went, I will never do that again. This is not my medicine. You know, I really went on this whole trip of, this is all about suffering. Why would I want to do this? I can get there through my imagination. But Shar has taught me imagination is how you can get there. And I was bent on going, I don't need to do this. This is the road of suffering, and I honor that, but I don't want to suffer to get there. You know, I was – I'm curious, Nicole, how was your first experience? Because, I mean, is this normal,
well,
what I went through?
You know, it's hard not to go into the situation having expectations because we all read things and we try to understand what the experience is about through what we've read. But the truth about – working with the ayahuasca is that it is an absolutely personal experience. All of us have our own experiences and our own beliefs and our own genetics, our own cellular structure, our own vibration. And we're bringing all of that of who we are when we sit together in this sacred circle. And, you know, of course, going into the unknown, maybe you're afraid, maybe there's some kind of anticipation. It's just really difficult to know what to expect. And I went into my first ceremony. You know, I've been working with my teacher for 2 years now in the plants, and I went to my first ceremony. She came to me exactly when I needed her in my life. I had just been diagnosed with Lyme disease, and quite honestly, I had been suffering for about a month and a half going through treatment and trying to get onto the road to recovery and worrying that I was never going to be able to get the disease completely out of my body because it's just one of those tricky things. And, you know, you talk about bugs. Well, my whole journey with ayahuasca has been about the bugs and getting the bugs out of my system. So when I first sat in ceremony with this plant, I asked her to remove it from my body, the Lyme disease, and I asked her to show me what its purpose was in my life. And I'll tell you, I had my first experience with time travel, although I didn't realize that's what it was at the time. It took me about a year to figure it out. What had happened was about a month before I even knew that ayahuasca was coming into my life, I was standing in my kitchen completely nauseous and dizzy and thinking, well, should I get a drink from the kitchen right now or should I just forget it? And all of a sudden this voice came into my head that said, God, you don't ever want to drink ayahuasca. This is why you don't want to do it. Because it makes you sick. And I went, oh, where did that thought just come from? Well, I'll tell you, I figured it out. I was sitting in ceremony and I started to feel the power of the plant and the vibration of the plant coming into my body, and it was so powerful it felt like my body was being split in half, and it scared me, and I said, oh my God, I've got to get out of here. And I passed out within 15 minutes probably of having drank the ayahuasca. I passed out, and you know, I didn't have any recollection of it, but later my friends told me that I passed out, and the ayahuasca started coming out my nose. And that is a very unusual experience. But she went in and she got the disease and she took it right out of me. She didn't wait for me to try to do it myself. She just did it herself. And I realized that when I asked the question, where did I go when I passed out? Well, my consciousness went to that, to me standing in the kitchen a month earlier and said, go forget it, you don't want to do this.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
wow, I love that. That you, indeed, that's hot.
It took me a year to figure it out, but I figured it out, and I had more time traveling experiences during subsequent journeys. But I would like to share a little bit with, you know, people out there who may have no idea what ayahuasca is about, and some of you that may know. I recently got back from the jungle where I was in isolation for 10 days working with this plant and two other plants and learning an incredible amount. And the plants have been teaching me about the history of where these plants came from. And I would like to say that we call ayahuasca a master plant. And what that means is that master plants, and now not all plants are considered master plants, only certain ones, just like certain people may be considered masters, like ascended masters.
Yeah, yeah.
Master plants have evolved, and they have a divine consciousness that is divinely intelligent. And when you work with these master plants, they know exactly what to do in your body. They don't need guidance. They don't need to be told what to do. They don't even need you to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
They know. So they can go into your body and do their own work. So there's only one plant that is above ayahuasca that is considered the grandmother, and that is tobacco. Interestingly enough, tobacco, as we all know, is the most abused plant in this whole country, if not the world.
Right.
But tobacco is considered the mother of ayahuasca, and the reason for that is that tobacco was the first plant that was created. And when she was created, her first plant that she created was the ayahuasca vine. And in doing so, she gave all of her DNA, except one little piece to keep for herself, to the ayahuasca. And then the ayahuasca used her own DNA to create all the other plants that are on the earth. And when she makes the other plants, she uses her DNA and she will change the vibration and the frequency just a little bit for each one so that every plant has its own specific use and purpose.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's something
That's hot. Yeah,
that's something that when you sit down and do your own work, because this work is all about going within, and the ayahuasca is going to show you exactly what you need to let go of, exactly what illusions that you're holding on to, because she wants you to know the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Firsthand. I mean, she really is an she's such a humbleizer, you know, because, one of the things that I so clearly got by staying and continuing to do the second ceremony the following evening was, first comes the breakdown, but you got to have the courage to be in your space in a humbling experience to have the breakthrough.
You're right.
Because and this is symbolic of everything. You know, I know when we're in the bad relationship or, you know, or something's bad at the job, or at least I won't even speak for anybody else. I'll speak for myself. My thought is always to run. Get me the hell out of Dodge. I'm so done with this. Let me move on. But, you know, the more I walk this path, this journey consciously, the more I am recognizing that the potentials of the dark nights of the soul, whether they be an evening or a decade, the potential when we break through those experiences are so beyond magical. I mean, they're beyond expansional, because the point is to embody everything. Nothing is to be separated outside of self, because the truth is nothing is separated outside of self.
You're
everything
right
I experienced the first night was me, was my ego, was my fears, was my truth. And you know, I went in going, oh, you know, I'm just so good at this. And humbly coming out 6 hours later going, you know, my first instinct being, you know, why would I do that again? Because I get that nobody wants to consciously dance a path of, you know, I don't want to consciously go into something and be nauseous for 6 hours. I don't want to do that. I mean, that's why it was so funny too. There was a point where my mom died from chemotherapy. She didn't die from cancer. She died from chemotherapy. And what was interesting is, you know, a lot of Western medicine is really about kill all the cells, praying that the bad ones die and the healthy ones might be strong enough to live when you're done. I mean, that's like the essential principle of radiation and chemotherapy. You know, we'll poison you and hopefully you'll be strong enough to bounce back afterwards.
Well, let me give you an interesting story about that, because this is a lesson that I learned in the jungle.
Okay, and then we're going to have to move on because this is totally filled up. But please.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So here's a different way of looking at this. A shaman who works with plants learns about the plants by embodying every single plant, by ingesting the plants, by putting them on the body, by putting them in the eyes. And by the time the shaman gets ready to work with a client, that shaman knows exactly how each and every single one of those plants will interact with the body. So when the person who is sick and needs healing comes, they can read the energy of that person and say, oh, this plant will work for that.
Okay.
So can you imagine how Western medicine would be different if every doctor took all of the drugs that they were prescribing?
Indeed. No, it was so, you know, it's just so obvious, because, see, it really comes down to a level of consciousness that suffering is, I mean, Buddhism says suffering is, but suffering should be a way to break through. Suffering is not, I don't suffer because I'm undeserving. I suffer because I have belief systems that are flipped out.
We suffer when we don't surrender and let go.
Exactly.
Of what
we're
trying to hold on to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the second night, in total humility, and I mean total humility, I was on my knees and went, I have two expectations, that I surrender and I will keep breathing. I mean, that was all I went into the second night with. You know, the rest I went, I have no idea what's going to happen. But my mantra in my head was, I surrender, and I kept deep breathing, and within 15 minutes almost to the dot, which somebody actually said was going to happen earlier in the day, I immediately felt I dropped into an expansive space, and I was no longer looking through my third eye. I was in my third eye. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because there's a whole new set of fears that go along with that space, because it is truly, I mean, I was in my mental body. I saw how my thoughts are created. I saw them being created. I saw when I got nervous how the creations went to a darker space from the rainbow space that they were at. I saw the speed at which thoughts were created, which was so astronomical. It's like building blocks, you know, on speed. I mean, it was just like, it was unbelievable. And yet I knew, I was like, I'm in my mental body. And another thing that I saw, which I was so grateful to see, is that my thoughts are good thoughts. I am a good person. And I have had dark thoughts in my life, but because I've had dark thoughts, does not, my central core, where from which I was, is goodness. And I saw that, and I was so grateful, you know, to really have a defining notion that I'm a good person, and I can believe that by experience. I've been within the source of my creation, of my experiences. And I was really stoked about that. Because, you know, it's just always nice to reinforce the self-love that, you know, I think all of us are thriving to thriving to embody wholly, you know, H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y, you know, truly embody, because, you know, that's, I think, what this whole gig is all about.
Well, you know, everybody can have their own intention for what they want to use the medicine for, but I've been taught, and I honestly, truly believe that it is, for me, only about spiritual evolution. And
indeed,
I am very, you know, careful about who I will work with, because the medicine is so sacred and so holy that I want to make sure that I'm studying under somebody who holds that same purity and that same space, because there's so much that we can learn and we can evolve at such a quick pace with this medicine that, you know, it's meant to be kept in a sacred manner. It's not meant to be, I don't know, I guess that's my own judgment, but for me anyway.
No, but I honor that. Sacred is indeed, and to each his own. It really is to each his own. It's too personal. There is no forcing, pushing, coercing, manipulating others, because you can't even manipulate your own journey. The journey itself, she's so good, you can't even manipulate your own journey other than, in my personal opinion, surrendering. That's the only manipulation that you can play with in this journey, surrendering. But if you think about it, that's life. That is just symbolism of life.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Nicole, I'm gonna take somebody else. You're welcome to stay on the line and listen. Thank you so much for sharing everything.
You're welcome.
Everything.
Thanks for inviting
beautiful.
Me.
Oh, my absolute divine pleasure. All right.
See you well.
I will speak with you soon. Thank you. Okay. Let's see. I'm hoping. Susan, is this you?
Suzanne?
Okay.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am great. So this is Suzanne Maresca. Is that correct?
Yes.
Am I pronouncing that correct?
Uh-huh.
Now, you've taught this, right? Ceremonies?
No.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
No, I trained with shamans in the jungle and in the Sacred Valley of Peru, and I did ayahuasca ceremony in the jungle.
Oh, okay. Do you care to share some of your experiences?
Well, certainly. And first I want to say it's so wonderful hearing you talk about it, because you're so bubbly and excited and so full of the experience, and it's just really, you know, it's just fun to hear you talk about it.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. So it is a very deeply personal thing and different for everyone, and I have to say that I am immensely grateful for the ayahuasquero that I worked with. There were 3 nights and 3 different ayahuasqueros and 3 different potions, but the one master who was teaching me was just really great in getting us ready to navigate what was coming. So to train to be an ayahuasquero is a really, really difficult thing, because they, of course, have to track everyone that's in their group. And if someone gets into a loop or some kind of a problem, they will go over with a sacred tobacco and, you know, blow it at them and help them process and move on to another part of it. But, for me, it was just, of course, the most amazing thing. And there's different stages, and whatever you're afraid of is going to be what comes up. You know,
yeah.
If you're definitely afraid of spiders, you're going to have visits with spiders. And if you're ready for it and you've done your preparation work and you've eaten well beforehand and followed all the instructions, I didn't have a problem with it. Things that came up that should have been scary to me, I was just observing. I knew that I was out of my body. I knew I actually came to New Jersey to kiss my daughter in her bed while she was sleeping.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
It was really great. So I knew I was out there. And when you mentioned the breath, it was a very, very important part of remembering that you have a body and that you're coming back to it, and that everything
right.
that happens is really okay. It's really okay. Whatever happens is really okay, and that's important to know. You know, I don't know what happened in your ceremony, but the ayahuasquero was whistling and rattling, and that rattle kept me on track. I knew that there was someone there watching out for me, and you know, if you go to Peru and you get on the bus, you ask the bus driver, would you do the ayahuasca ceremony, he would say no. No, I will not. Most ordinary people will not choose to do that because, and his answer was, because I want to remember that I go shopping and I eat food and I live in a house.
Interesting. So, I have definitely experienced some slipperiness since I've been back. You know, Monday and Tuesday when I went to go pick up Sahana, I was late both days. I mean, I wasn't even time. I'm literally on the phone. I look at the clock. It says 3:33, and I'm like, oh, look, it angel numbers. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm supposed to pick up Sahana at 3:30. You know, going, Goldie. And I really realized how much, you know, it's just easy to slip into no time.
Yes.
You know. And I was, and so I did that Monday and Tuesday. I was very conscious yesterday and today, literally consciously exercising, follow the clock, Goldie, follow the clock. You got to pick her up in a little bit. You got to pick her, you know.
Yeah. So I find it remarkable, the stages of an ayahuasca journey, and if you get to the final stage, if we start out with your psychedelics and all the, dancing monkeys and whatever else comes up to you, and then the scary
right.
things come up. Ultimately, what the ultimate gift of the vine is called the vine of death, and the reason is for shamanic death, that you die to the old self that has limitations and thinks that it is separated and all that sort of thing. You
right.
come to really have a profound understanding, and for me, the first time in this lifetime that I really, really understood my divinity of being celebrated as a divine being by ayahuasca and by the Amazon, and just knowing that I am as magnificent and beautiful a creature as those things, and it's the planet is the same thing, the planet Earth, you know, we're all these great, glorious, divine God beings, and for the most part, our job here has been to forget that and live a life anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to touch that. It's really nice, you know?
Yeah.
And I will do it
yeah.
again at some point when the opportunity comes up. But, you know, the most wonderful thing afterwards, and my third journey, I did not vomit at all. It was so, I'm so grateful for it. Afterwards, you know, you get up and still a little wobbly on your feet, incredibly grateful, and just, you know, it makes me think of the Ghostbuster movies where they have the positively charged slime that hits people.
Okay.
And after that, you're like, I love you, man.
Definitely, it brings out unconditional love for everything. Absolutely.
Everything. You know,
absolutely.
Just hug everybody. We're just like all
yeah.
one big blob.
Yes. Well, by
yeah.
golly, that's my heaven on earth, boy. I love those group experiences where... And, you know, it's not a sexual love. It's an unconditional love, which
oh,
is
just
very,
open heart,
for me,
you know?
Very different. Yeah, it's,
oh, yeah.
It's very much, you know, everybody's been, whether they've been sweating or, you know, they're letting go on every orifice. And at the end of the night, you know, people's hair are clearly messed up or, you know, they got dribbles of you know, stuff on their shirt. Nobody cares. I mean, everybody just has this look in their eye like, you know, there's a beauty that we have touched within ourselves that is impossible because you do it as a group, that whether somebody sitting next to you got to a certain point or not, you did touch it within them because energetically you're all in that room as one essence. I mean, that's because our ayahuascarian, he sang as well as playing the flute.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh yeah.
It was,
beautiful voice.
It was mesmerizing. I mean, it's so enchanting. I mean, that's
like an angel.
Enchanting. Oh, it's tremendously rhythmic and
yeah.
hypnotic and you know, couple that with, you know, the vine, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, the singing and the whistling just kept me really present and knew that I was cared for and I was being watched over. Nothing bad would ever happen.
Yeah, yeah. I don't go into fear of things like that, like, because like you, when I saw the bugs, I wasn't like, you know, grossed out or anything like that. I was just like, the first night it was more about, hey, you know, I can go beyond this. What, you know, what I need. But I was in my head, which was so funny why I know I went to my mental body, because that is on some level where I still go, like I trust I use all my bodies, but my consciousness often stops at the mind as a solution station. And the second night, it was really, I was so clear that, and ironically, like I said, I went to the mind, but from a creative standpoint, meaning I just saw it as a creative film. I was, you know, in the film of the now moment, you know, and it was very casino-like. I mean, it was gaudy in its color, and there were mirrors and the building blocks. And I saw at one point the energy was working on my mouth, and I saw another point children. I don't know if they're my hybrid children from my intergalactic experiences. I don't know if they're children that I've yet to meet. You know, and the minute I would try and think about it, it would lose that casino appearance. So I clearly got, don't think about it, Goldie. Just watch.
Yeah.
Watch your own experience.
Yeah.
You know, because another thing I saw, there's no handrails. You know, you really are in the vastness. And, I mean, it's funny because in all my little cockiness of the things that I've experienced, vastness is definitely still, you know, it's that Marianne Williamson quote, we are clearly afraid of our light and our vastness.
Yeah.
You know, the dark, I'm comfortable in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't choose to play there. It's not my preference anymore. But I clearly see I've got more confidence in dark spaces
mm-hmm.
than I do in vastly creative spaces.
Oh.
Because I was like, you know, every now and then I'd be like, just open your eyes, Goldie, and you'll be back in your body. And I would. I'd open my eyes. I'd look around the room.
You
did. I'd feel the presence.
Did you?
Yeah, of course, because I wasn't ready to just, totally, it still was not a total surrender. It was, but it wasn't, because I tethered. I tethered myself because I knew that's what I needed to feel good.
Yeah.
And I was literally like, I'm okay if this wants to end now. I'm okay if this wants to end now. And it didn't end right away, but inevitably, I can tell you the second night went by in like 35 minutes. The first night went by in 3 days. You know, as experiential. Because when it was puking and all that, boy, you know, I was there forever.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. And you know what? My first night, I was doing good, but then the woman next to me went for it and blah, and then all of a sudden it just came up. I didn't think it was going to happen at all, but there it was.
Right.
You know, it's a necessary part of it. You know, you tie your hair back and you get ready, that's all.
Well, and that's one thing I didn't do, I mean. But I'll be honest with you, I realized how much I was ashamed to puke in front of people.
Oh,
I mean,
wow, so many lessons for you.
Oh,
my gosh.
God, lots of, absolutely. That's why, really, the beauty is, if you don't go out, quote, unquote, into whatever that expansion is,
yeah,
it's because it knows as an intelligent being, a sentient being,
absolutely,
to work on the physical aspects.
Yeah. Yep,
you know,
whatever it takes. And the fact that you were willing to do it is a surrender all by itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, everybody was telling me, Nicole, who was on just a moment ago, her and her partner were going, you're brave to do this two nights in a row as your first two.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, courage is something that I'm learning so pays off. The breakthroughs, I would have never known what I received the second night if I didn't stay for the second night.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure. The gifts. And you know what? You probably ought to do it again, because there will always be, and I certainly am going to as well. But let me just say that if I could at some point pose to Nicole, who I believe has done ayahuasca in the jungle as well as outside, I'm curious to find out how the vine is different if she is not in her home growing area. You understand what I mean?
Yeah. And different soil and all that?
Yeah, I only ever did it in the jungle, so I would like to know if it's just as amazing outside of it.
Okay. All right, let me get to a few other people. I said,
yes.
Nicole's still on the air, but I will come back to that.
Okay, great.
Only because I asked a lot of people to come on. I just
want to make sure
that I get them.
Thank you
okay.
so much for having me on.
Oh, Suzanne, you are fabulous. Thank you for sharing. Actually, to be honest, if you're okay, I'm going to keep you open because I want to chime in. You know, this is really, actually,
okay.
I mean, okay, because if we get too many people open, it will
block.
Yeah,
no, I get it. That's fine. I'll
okay.
be respectful.
Okay. Oh, namaste, sister. Area code 860, you're on the air live.
Hello, Goldie. How are you?
Hi, who is this?
This is Sarita.
Oh, I was hoping you'd call in tonight, Sarita. How are
Hello,
you?
Nicole. Hello, everyone, if you're still there.
I said Nicole is, she's on mute, but she's on the air, yes.
Yes, I'm doing very well.
So, yes, may I just share, Sarita had completed her 9th ceremony over the weekend.
Mm.
So, yes, care to share about that?
Oh, well, the 9th one, the last one was amazing. Each one is so different. And like everyone said, you know, the experience is different for each person, you know.
Mm.
But that was the cream of the crop on Saturday. I brought in so many intentions. It's so important where your focus is, you know. We create the reality that we're in, and whatever we think about, you know, it's so easy to go there. I know you're talking about bugs and these things, and I haven't had an experience like that yet. I haven't had that kind of creepy crawly, you know. Everything hasn't been so much like love, but everything is beautiful in a way, you know.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You know, my first experience.
Now I'm going to say that you haven't been there, Sarita, trust me.
Yeah.
You
I mean,
know?
I tried to go there this weekend, you know, because
really?
I'm like, I don't want to be afraid of this. I don't want to just go to love. I want to clean up all the darkness, you know, just remove anything that's negative, anything that's not real. I'm not interested in it, you know.
Yeah.
I was
yeah.
just trying to kill the ego, you know. Like, today I was thinking, let me try not to say I. How long can I get away with, you know, not saying
oh,
I
nice.
Throughout the day? Or my
yeah.
or me, you know, just detachment. But it's so hard, you know. I should just tally just to see how many times I say it in a day. You know, I just said it so many times right now, I'm sure. You know.
Yeah, but no, I don't want you to be conscious. I want, yeah, say I because this is about your personal experience. So
yeah,
you're allowed
absolutely.
To say I.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, so I was just trying to go to that dark place, but it didn't happen this weekend, you know. But I just wanted to surrender. And the last day, I just had the intention to just, like, be a vehicle of the divine, you know. I don't want to, you know, just fill myself with love. I just want to fill myself with, like, God or whatever the creator is, the highest thing, and show me how everything is made and what am I, you know. And it was just an amazing experience. It was so beautiful. I connected with so
many. It was beautiful. Yeah.
Things. It was just amazing, you know.
I'm curious, though, because I've spoken to Trisha and James, and I even think Nicole, too. We all felt this very, like, 2 days ago, I was crying my eyes out, all in gratitude. None of it, no pity party at all. Nothing was sad, but there was this tremendous release through my tears. I was curious if you experienced a big emotional release, however it shows up for you, since the ceremony.
I constantly feel these waves of energy, you know, just go through me. You know, it's just
yeah.
amazing, beautiful love. You know what I mean? It's just like everything is just so beautiful. I'm just so appreciative. You know, I see everything as myself in a way. Everything is just so connected. You know what I mean? And everything happens for a reason. Everything is just so, you know, as it should be, you know? And
yeah,
yeah. Just be in that moment and just appreciate things, not hold on to things, you know, and cry over spilled
yes.
milk or just, you know, get so
yes.
stuck. You know what I mean? Like, just take time out to just breathe and just relax, you know what I mean? Just take it all in, you know, and just be in the moment and just maximize the moment, you know, just be as positive as you can and just, like, you know, treat everything as if it's you, you know, just treat everything with love. And it just, the return is just so beautiful. So
mm-hmm.
I've just been getting all these waves of great energy, you know, throughout the week, you know, and just always, you know, but since the ceremony, it's just like, you know, so much more in tune and, you know, to those frequencies, and it's just so much more profound.
Yeah, I definitely feel her. Like, I'll shut my eyes, and what used to happen, like, I'd say about, I don't know, 3 to 5 years ago, I found if I would sit outside in the sunshine, I wouldn't look at the sun, but being in the sun, when I shut my eyes, like with the sun, obviously, you know, just in the sky, I would see energy movement, you know, from behind my eyes. And what I found interesting was this weekend, lying in my bed in the dark, I saw energy movement behind my eyes. And I'm like,
no, that's cool.
It's like it activated my inner sun.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, yeah, and I can just, you know, I'm absolutely sensing that, because it's interesting, once I broke through to my, you know, my fractal design, which was this, you know, three-dimensional block building thing. It was like, you know, Legos gone wild. Legos on crack. I didn't want to say that, though. It sounds so disrespectful to the plant. Just Legos gone wild. Because I've seen that movement, it seems that now that movement is also showing up, you know, like a lot of times, too, when ever since I was a kid, I would see, like, all these little white, like, I don't, they're not sparkly things. They're these little white lights that I could make with my eyes shut. I would,
okay.
I would see, like I said, they're not lights, but they're like stardust. Mm-hmm. And I could move it in rhythmic pattern, so to speak. And what's interesting is when I see it now, I actually, it's not that I'm moving the patterns. I feel like the pattern is moving through me. It's almost like I'm getting an awareness of my body being the vessel of the universe and the cosmos moving through instead of me being in the universe. It's now the universe is in me.
Mm. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's so expansive. I get that. It will take time for me to assimilate it. Because what I really want to try next is to see how my healing is different, you know, hands-on healing and that kind of stuff, and see if I could, you know, potentially tap in a more expanded level of awareness, since that seems to be what I am tapping into. Now let me apply that as a healing, and you know,
yeah,
how that would manifest.
If I could just interject here and say,
please,
that I'm sure that this is just the beginning for you, Goldie, as far as expansion. You know, from the ayahuasca, it's such a process, and things are going to keep showing up that are going to surprise you for a long time.
Well, I'll be
cool.
Honest with you, I'm already set up for the next two ceremonies. I just sent in my deposit. I'm addicted to expansion. I like anything that can help me show me expansion. And I've been talking about these things from, you know, many teachers, you know, Almeen and the Crimson Circle. But this, you actually experience your own expansion. And that, to me, is the wisest teacher that can teach you, the actual experience. Yeah. So, thought I'd add that. Suzanne, I get the feeling you're not surprised by that.
Oh, it's just funny. It's really delightful to watch, you know.
Oh, namaste. Well, I was thinking, too, you know, shucks, it's next month. I mean, we'll probably do November 11th. Oh, wow, 11-11.
Oh, beautiful.
Because I'm doing it on the 5th and the 6th, 11-11, we're probably going to do another ayahuasca show. So
nice.
Everybody on the air. Yeah, everybody on the air. Come back in a month. All right, Sarita, I'm gonna keep moving on. Thank you, sweetheart, for sharing. So much love.
Thank you for having me here.
Oh, I adore you. You were awesome. You were very instrumental in the in-between part of helping me relax so I could stay for the second journey. So thank you very much. Much, much love to you, sweet sister.
Yes, you too.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. And okay, that is Nicole. Nicole, I love that you're still here. Stick around, Nicole. I know you're tired. Stick around anyways, because we love you. Okay, area code 817, you're on the air. Hello? Okay. I have a feeling that's somebody that's probably just listening to the show but has not done ayahuasca. Okay, this is Stephanie. Stephanie, you're on the air.
Me?
It's you! Hi, Stephanie. This is Stephanie Besson, a sweet friend of mine, a Facebook gone human friend.
Yeah, perfect.
So, okay, now you have done ayahuasca in, I was going to say Chile, but it's not Chile. Where did you do it?
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, that's it.
So, my experience was, I was at a point in my life where I was done with drugs, didn't want to do it. The ayahuascarian came. I was just so happened that I was with this community down there, and she was going to come. The first day I stayed, I didn't go to the ceremony. The second day I helped with the ceremony, so I helped everybody. I helped hold space and just helping people just clear their buckets and walk them to the bathrooms.
Yeah, those people are incredibly comforting when you can't walk. So thank you for, no matter what your group, I'm so grateful. Nicole's partner did that for me one night. You're incredible because you really are out of sorts in the middle of this, and yet there's certain things that functionalities you still want to take care of. So
yeah,
I thank
yeah.
you for being that. Indeed.
And then for when somebody can't walk and stuff, they want somebody that's non-judgmental to help them. And I'm sure they can feel that.
Exactly. Yes.
So I was, that was an incredible experience on its own.
Yeah.
And so the next day I said, I didn't want to trip. I didn't want to really trip and trip out. So I went down, it was up in a mountain in a cave, and I went down the mountain that day. I went to town, and after going to town, I was like, I'm doing it. And so I said, for some reason, I didn't want to puke. I just didn't really want to go. I had been to John of God, and I saw amazing healings there without the puking and the screaming and the yelling.
Right.
So I had said to myself, I don't know if it's necessary to go through all that. That's something I still kind of sit with. Like, is it necessary that we go there? Can we just go straight to the light without having to go through the darkness?
Right.
I think there's different ways to get there.
And I think every journey, well, the plant decides more than we do. That would be my
opinion. Yeah, you can't control it.
Yeah. But I get, I mean, because I didn't want to puke either, even though, you know, I was filling up landmines, for God's sakes. I mean, afterwards, so it was funny because I had a thing in my head just from my drinking days. It was literally, you know you'll feel better if you do. You know you will, so just do it. Again, mine was a fear of, you know, I had the shame of puking in front of people.
Yeah, I see that too. And I had that piece too, but there was also that piece, like, I didn't want to go there. I was just like, I don't want to puke.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. So, but what was going on with me in my journey was when my thoughts would go negative, that's when my stomach would get nauseous, and I'd go back to the ayahuascarian and voice and the light.
Okay.
And I'd go what I call the light, because I had gotten a message from somebody that I've worked with as a shaman, and I got there at the ceremony that she was telling me to go to the light in sessions I've had with her, that I didn't know that that's what she was. So I felt that, and so I was moving away from the nauseousness in my stomach with positive thoughts and holding a positive space, and still I was like, well, is this the healing that I'm supposed to be receiving? Because if it's not, then I will go to the puking if I need to go there. I wasn't really sure if nobody ever really had told me. So
I'm just saying that's too bad that nobody ever told you, because instructions that I was given was the more that you can relax about it, the better you'll be. And that was absolutely true for me. If I was, you know, to say I embrace the puking experience because I know it's part of it and I'm very grateful to do this. And it was pretty, I had it pretty easy. I mean, I only, you know, It was good, and it really is true. The more you relax into it and surrender, the better experience you'll have.
That was absolutely a confirmation of my second night. Hands that the, I didn't resist it. I literally puked once for like, you know, 2 minutes, and then expanded for 4 hours or five, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree with that philosophy. You know what? I'm going to bring Nicole on too. Nicole, you're on, just so you know, because you should be in on this too. And I get it. We have four of us live, so if we're all just respectful, it's all good. Keep going, Sam.
Okay. Yeah. So basically, I was traveling and I was interacting with people in my life and seeing if our energies were supposed to dance together. That's what it felt like. I would go up to somebody's energy and feel if they invited me in or not. And I found out that some of my friends that I had back here were not supposed, I wasn't supposed to dance with them.
Oh, interesting.
Their energy was pushing me away. And not here, though. Here they embraced me, but I knew underneath, I knew.
Yeah.
And here they embraced me, oh, we love you, blah, blah, blah. But then I'd go up to their energy and boom, I'd hit this wall and they wouldn't invite me in. So I was doing that with everybody I knew in my life. I'd go up to them and to their energy, and then they'd either let me in or not. And when they would let me in, we, our energies would dance together. That's what I was experiencing. And,
nice.
Yeah.
Well, the clarity is pretty profound. I think I would imagine everybody would agree on that. That you know,
absolutely.
This plant, it just take the self denial. No matter what the level, there's no self denial. When I think it's almost like we know it going into the ceremony. That you know, I think part of my fear was the. Okay, wait a minute. Too much background noise. Okay. Going into it was the fear that I was going to see something about myself that I might not be ready to see.
Oh.
And the truth of the matter is, there's nothing I'm not prepared to see. You know? I mean, I'm open to this.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
And you said you saw how good you were.
Well, in my mind, I saw that my thoughts. But indeed, I clearly got it. Was like, you know, there were rainbows and bright colored things. And it was almost, like I said, it almost reminded me of like a children's playroom, which makes sense. You know, I've been a nanny for 20 years and that I would associate goodness with the children. That I do associate that kind of, you know, that innocence and that playfulness definitely was, it was. You know, like I said, Lego-y. You know, it looked like, you know, Legos, but something much more way beyond the Lego arena. Lego and Crayola got together and had
like
a trip with
Lego.
Goldie. But so how many journeys did you have, Stephanie?
I only did one.
Okay.
Night.
Okay.
And, yeah, the night before I was helping everybody.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
So, yeah, just the one, though, myself.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
and,
you're welcome
oh,
to join us if you're open to it for the November experience.
It's a possibility. The other piece was, I felt my Kundalini rising in it.
Okay.
That happened to me during the day. There was some scene. I might lose you. My battery's going dead. But
okay. Yeah. No, there's a lot of background noise. I think it's actually you because I'm clicking. I'm muting everybody, and it's still there. And I'm like, it's Stephanie.
It's mine. Okay. Let me come out.
Yeah. It's just hard to hear, babe. I don't know what's going on, but it's hard to hear you.
That's better. Is that better?
That is better. Okay. Okay, good. Because I'm gonna bring Nicole back. Nicole, you're back on too.
Yay.
Yeah.
that day I had seen somebody and this guy was just watching me. He was this like hippie guy. He was watching me, and I let him watch me.
Where are you, Steph? Steph, where are you?
I'm at Albro's. That's why.
Okay, yeah, you got to go outside because it's too much.
Let me shut it off.
Or whatever it is. Yeah, because I want to hear you, but you have a very you're very demeanor when you talk. You're a powerhouse in gentleness, but I can't hear you.
There we go. Okay.
Okay.
So he had been watching me. I didn't think anything of it. During the ceremony, I felt sexual energy come into me, and my normal reaction would be to stop it right down there. But I let it come in, and it came up all the way through my body, and then I had like a full body orgasm type thing. And
wow.
Then I felt I was taking layers off of myself of who I should be and who my mother wanted me to be.
Oh, wow.
So I think somebody else mentioned that you shed the layers of who you feel you should be. Somebody said that. Nicole, maybe?
I don't know, but I have a feeling. You know what? I feel that what you're saying is auspicious because I can tell you, I was so grateful there was no sexual energy, but I have a feeling the next body I'm going to go through is the emotional body, that it's going to be interpreted by my being as sexual energy, even though it's just going to be really sensations of the Kundalini. So it's auspicious that I'm hearing this, because if I shut it down, that's just resistance again. There is anything I resist, you know, during these ceremonies is just going to turn around to be an uncomfortable experience. So thank you for that, Steph. Yes, I believe that what you just said is auspicious for me anyways, so I appreciate that.
Yeah,
Nicole, did you didn't mention that, did you?
Mention what?
About layers coming off of you. Yeah.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, I didn't think you did either. I don't.
Who was the last woman that talked?
Sarita? Did Sarita mention
maybe
that? She's... Wait, let's bring Sarita on too. Everybody's here.
Or a type of letting go.
Sarita, did you mention that?
I could have. Yes.
Okay.
Kundalini is wonderful. I work with a guru, and I think there's so many paths to this. You know, this divine source and.
Yes.
You know, I think ayahuasca is, could definitely awaken someone's Kundalini, you know. And once it's awakened, it's just such an amazing experience, you know. It's good to keep that fire burning, you know. Just go through those chakras, you know, up through the crown. Just, harness that energy.
I'm sorry. Could it have been something that I said about shamanic death? It's the vine of death, and shamanically you leave behind the parts of you that no longer serve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sex and death, you know, it's what we go for.
Oh, in a nutshell.
I got to bring a little humor into it because I want people to know. You know, I definitely find my experience, the ayahuasca is very different than, I thought it was going to be similar to a mushroom, you know, the mushroom experience.
Yeah.
It is really apples and oranges. This is, you know, it's an interesting thing because it's a very deep personal experience, and the joy goes so beyond, you know, the topical layer of escapism, you know.
Okay, yeah.
You know,
think about this.
Partying
nobody
with
will,
your friends.
Yeah, nobody will ever do this recreationally, okay? You
exactly.
would go screaming into the
exactly.
jungle with your clothes off and kill yourself, okay, without... I'm telling you, unless you have support and navigation skills and the ability and the knowledge and the preparation, you're going to kill yourself on ayahuasca. It's disrespectful. Nobody will ever do this for fun.
Right. And yet it's the funnest thing I've ever done in the sense of I'm learning me. I mean, I know nothing, but I know inside of me there's colors, it's so amazing. I didn't read about this from somebody else. Nobody else is telling me. I was literally in a conscious state, aware of my radiance. And
yeah.
That is, God, can you give any greater gift?
No.
It's almost like we become children again, because I think we know that as babies.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And then it's conditioned out of us. Nicole, will you answer the question that Suzanne had brought up about if it's different, you know, being at home or not being at home in the jungle?
I'm actually going to let Deb answer that one because I know she would like to talk. So I'm going to hand her the phone.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
Hi, this is Deb.
Hey,
hi,
Deb.
Hey, Deb.
Hi.
Welcome to the round table.
Thank
or
you.
The octagonal table. It's all good.
The ayahuasca is going to be who she is no matter where you are. And mm-hmm. if you're able to sort of leave yourself behind and stay within your own journey, you won't really notice if you're in the jungle or if you're in the middle of a big city or where you are. But I can say that being in the jungle, if you have those moments that you want to be aware of your surroundings and open your eyes,
mm-hmm.
you notice there's something very, very special about the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I got there, I felt like the whole jungle was saying, welcome home.
Mm-hmm.
This is Eden. I've always been here. You never left.
Mm-hmm.
And during ceremony, when I would be aware of my surroundings, I noticed that the jungle was singing along with the acaros,
mm-hmm.
and the sound of the frogs and the toads and the insects and the birds were punctuating the songs that were guiding us.
Yeah.
Oh,
I got the impression that the veil that's thinning in our physical reality just doesn't exist in the jungle, that you can exist in physical reality and in spiritual reality all at once. You can be everywhere all at once. So the expansion is pretty much constant during dieta for 10 days. In between the ceremonies, the visions continue in the daylight as you gaze off into the trees. You notice the amazing depth. And I've had insects in all of my journeys, and I've had many journeys, 15 or more journeys, and the insects that are there I've never been afraid of, like I'm afraid of most insects in physical reality. In fact, when they come to me, they usually appear to be holding up the bubble of reality that we're in.
Oh, wow.
I come to call the oneness, and they fan me so that I physically feel a breeze blowing over me, then through me, that emanates from these beings. And while I was in the jungle in between ceremonies, the day in between the ceremonies, I was looking at an insect that looked really familiar to me. And as I looked into the body of it, which was all rainbow colors and black sort of dotted together, it appeared that I was gazing deeper and deeper and deeper into the insect, and it just had amazing depth, like
mm-hmm.
no bottom to the depth of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of communicated with that insect and said, I know where you're from. And the answer that came back to me was, this is everything all at once. Where
mm-hmm.
you're here, there's just no separation.
Mm-hmm.
You're not separate from anything.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Suzanne, would you consider that the shamanic death? I mean, that what she just described sounds like it is the entry into the oneness.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You can't get to that place if you're holding on to a bunch of other things, though, and sometimes letting go of those things, if you haven't done it before your ceremony, it's going to come up in some ways that could be troubling.
Oh,
you know?
The next day, the first next day for me, Saturday, I was in my tent. Nobody woke me up. That was divine, because I wouldn't have shared. I was, you know, at that point, I was still not ever doing this again. But the following day, which, of course, you know, I stayed with everybody after ceremony, and we ate, and we broke fast, and, you know, it was incredibly divine. And I was like, make sure you come get me. Make sure you come get me. When I was listening to some of the people who were indeed struggling that they didn't surrender, you can really sense it's a control issue. You know, and it's and there's no judgment. God knows we're all experiencing control issues, and I mean on a daily basis. I'm in relationships that are out of control because I'm in a control issue with myself. So my reflection is I'm in a controlling relationship, and there's so much understanding symbolically that, you know, breathing and surrendering, I mean, this is the panacea for life right now. This is not just about the ability to pop into, you know, an expanded dimension. This is the ability to pop into divinity on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, it's the answer for, you know, everything, every day, every moment. And, you know, it's like, it's so amazing how, you know, we can take a lot of classes and listen to a lot of channelings and, you know, do a lot of stuff.
It's so fun to listen to you talk about it. I love this.
Yeah, well, because it's, I've been on this, like, rampage since I'm 30. I mean, for 15 years, it's all been about, you know, thinking I had to get there. I have to get to enlightenment, you know, and I'm pretty much, you know, pushing people out of the way. No, I want to get to the front of the line. I got to get there first. Get out of my way. And, you know, it's so funny. On some level, sometimes I would be at the front of the line and going, okay, now you're up here all by yourself, Goldie, so what good does that do you? Like, you know, and I'm really, it's an interesting thing that right now I'm just coming into a space where I want to, by an inner desire, an inner motivation, I want to join groups again. For like the last 5 years, I've pretty much been journeying, you know, on a solo basis. And, you know, I have a very small group in my inner circle, and I wasn't doing any group meditations, or I wasn't affiliated with healing centers. It was just where, you know, I felt like I was being gutted, to be quite honest. You know, that point where I used to tell people, I'm at the point where the caterpillar, I'm not a caterpillar and I'm not a butterfly. You know, I'm in the chrysalis being gutted. So, you know, that's where I am.
Yeah.
And as I come out, I would have never, this is a 10-year manifestation. I intended to do ayahuasca 10 years ago. I am so grateful that life did not manifest it for me until now, which is really helping me see that everything is always from a divine timing, a perfect divine timing.
Yeah.
Because it was challenging now, but I had done, I am the butterfly, and I'm much more open to doing something as humbling as ayahuasca in a group, because this is something I would never recommend doing this solo. The group energy is so instrumental in supporting your journey. It's very personal, but you'll know that there's an essence throughout the entire room supporting you on this journey. And if you're not ready to be in group situations, you know, ayahuasca might, you know, well, and it's interesting because it almost seems like she just won't manifest for you. At least that's how it was for me. You know, she wasn't anywhere for me until I was okay to be with her.
Well, I don't know. Maybe that's just a matter of semantics, but I think that your availability is what made your experience. She was there. You know?
Right, right. Well, I won't say that I was trying hard, but 10 years ago I was like, you know, I found these people in Brazil, and I was like, you know, because like I said, I'm a tripper, man. I'm a day tripper. Goldie doesn't have any trouble ingesting things, telling me I'm going to see stuff. I'm cool with that. but it was initially a $2,500, you know, situation that I just didn't have that in my back pocket at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and now that's not the case, you know. And so I am genuinely grateful that it came in this decade of my life, not in my 30s. And, you know, it's teaching me so much about timing. It really is. And the perfection that was always been here, it's just my mind going, you know, I'm racing to get, what, to the middle of the infinite vastness?
Well, you know what, just my opinion here, that you wouldn't have to do another thing or another ceremony, and your process is already well on its way, and you're just going to keep growing and expanding whether you try or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I do. I think, it's a wonderful space to just, you know, because one of the things Bashar says that I resonate deeply with is once you're okay with exactly where you are, everything that needs to find me will, because that's being present.
Yeah.
You know, not trying to, you know, fight the demons of the past or chase my way to the front of the line in the future. It's just,
yeah.
Just be here, Goldie.
That is one of the greatest lessons that I have learned in the last month and a half of my life is about being. And a huge piece of the ceremony is about waiting and being in the stillness and okay, am I okay just sitting here being who I am? And can I just wait for whatever it is that God wants to bring in next or that I'm going to be shown and just sit and occupy my time sitting here with my legs crossed and seeing what's going to pop up next on the next wave?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful art to be able to learn to be that comfortable in my body. I feel so grateful that, you know, my whole life has changed. When I left the jungle and I got back into my world, I went back to work and I looked at my kids. I'm a teacher and I said, do you notice that I'm different? That, like, nothing seems to bother me anymore? Like, all I have to do is sit here and love you and everything else is going to, like, work out and I don't ever have to worry about anything ever again. And they're like, yeah, totally, we see it. I said, I want to show you how to do that in your own life.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kids know. I mean, Sahana was holding my hand, and she's like, you're tickling me. I'm like, Sahana, I'm holding your hand. She goes, well, it tickles. And I'm going, wow, it's literally the pulsing of just divinity, pulsing through my being, tickling her.
Yeah.
It was like, that's, I mean, working around the kids are amazing because they are so sensitive to all of it,
yeah.
naturally. You know, they're naturally tripping.
Yeah. Yeah. <It's> so funny.
So, Suzanne, what do you do for a living?
I'm not working right now. Actually, I just got a job at Macy's to try to make up for my, I am doing alimony and child support right now, and my life is really been, this has been a fascinating year. I went through a short sale. I filed bankruptcy. I'm going to be getting my final divorce before the end of the year, and my kid has been sick, so, you know. But by golly, I love it all because I'm having my experiences, and it's all good, and I have joy every day somehow or other.
Namaste, sister. That's awesome that you know that, and you know there's a destructuring before there's a restructuring and
yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, you are good, girl. I can feel it. So, I mean, how amazing that you know we can, because I've had where like I lost my TV, my cell phone, and my MP3 player in 5 days. and I get it. It's all technology, and it's like I was so grateful I didn't lose my computer. But I was kind of sitting on the edge of my seat going, oh, this could go any minute, too. But it's like there's a wisdom to know that, you know, no matter what happens, we can't lose self.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the ultimate controlling issue for myself was always, like, I would go into relationships. And I used to call myself in my 20s, I'm a professional chameleon because I could adapt to anything the guy wanted. If he was into basketball, I could learn everything about basketball and become the greatest fan of basketball. Or I could adapt to whatever it was that I thought they wanted me to be.
Mm.
And what I started realizing as I've been single for the last 13 years, I mean, I've dated, but is the whole idea of, well, why don't you just stay you, Goldie, and see what you attract?
Yeah.
Instead of becoming what they want, which is a sense of loss. I would really feel a sense of, you know, where did I go in this?
Yeah, exactly. I have to say that my experience with ayahuasca had sort of was definitely a beginning for me, because once you actually connect with your own divinity, and it just sounds like words, but the experience, once you've touched it, is really unlike
profound.
Anything else. So once you... Perfect. Once you understand that, It really is very easy to accept that this life is our human life. It's our human experience and a small part of who we really are. It's a big important part, but it's a small part at the same time, because when this body dies, we're still here and rocking solid, and everything that happens now, we can't make a mistake, and it's all good.
Exactly.
That's right, Suzanne. I agree that ayahuasca introduces us to what we've forgotten about our true nature of being.
Yeah.
And it cracks me up, because as you're telling your story, you're telling my story too.
Exactly.
Similar situations. And I just wanted to say one more thing about the purge, because I feel like it's the one piece that's missing from this conversation, and you've touched on it in so many ways, but it's natural to not really want to puke in a group and and to think that it's unpleasant. But the other part about the purge is it is a total blessing.
Yeah.
And you can let go enough to, you know it's coming, and you're breathing through it and just connecting with your breath. Ask the plant, what is it that I'm purging? And she will always tell you in the most humane and compassionate way what piece of yourself needs to go. And you begin to understand why it needs to go. And for me, each time before I purge, I shapeshift into the jaguar, and she helps
me. Oh, nice.
And really works my abdominal muscles in a way that they don't get worked any other way.
Yes.
Whatever comes out, I immediately bless it and say, thank you for the lessons, for hanging around long enough and being patient until I could learn whatever it was I needed to learn from this old, old story.
Yeah.
And thank you for not being the program that's running my life anymore.
Yeah.
Today, I'm free from that old story, and it really is a total blessing. The purge has become something. I've spent whole ceremonies trying really hard to purge. You can't control it.
Yeah.
I've spent time in ceremony trying not to be the first one to purge. You have to
That went through my head. That's so funny. Yes, I was like, the second night, I was like, oh, please, I just don't want to be the first. And, you know, where I was sitting, like 30, you know, 20 other people had taken a drink before I had. And, you know, and then I heard the first one, and I went, okay, I'm ready now. It's so funny.
By the end of ceremony, you see how silly our ego and how silly all the little things that we worry about that we think are such big deals are so trivial in the big scheme of who we really are, that I just always feel like laughing my head off. It's like the biggest joke in the world.
Yeah.
It is so humbling. It really, and I'll tell you personally, I'm a very strong presence, and I enjoy a presence that can humbleize me with an exquisite magic of perfection, because I can debate with the best of them. I can, you know, I've got my magic. I mean, I've been chased down the road by 27 people and have literally gone through brick walls and over tree stumps without any damage. I mean, I know how to bring magic into a situation, but humble. The essence of humility for me is such, I'm becoming so aware that is the gift of this expanded consciousness. It's not warrior energy anymore. I don't have to fight any of this. I have to surrender to everything.
Do you know, like we've all said, everybody's experience is different. I was given such a lot of information before this that I went into it on my knees. I was like, please, I'm open to whatever you have to offer me. I hope that it's gentle, but if it isn't gentle, I understand that that's what is best for me. And, you know, that's the attitude that I went in with. And, you know, it was good. I felt that it was good all the way through, and that they were really gentle with me.
Well, you were gentle with you.
Yeah.
it is us driving this bus, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which is, again, such a beautiful experience to really be aware that, because I immediately got, when I was in the expansional part, when I started worrying, the visuals changed. I mean, this wasn't an outside force. The songs didn't shift. I shifted. And when I shifted, what I experienced shifted. And as soon as I surrendered, I went back to the colorful experience. It's like, you know, it just becomes so imprinted, because my intention is always show me who I am. Bring in my essence, show me who I am. What is this? And, you know, who's running this grand show on earth, this greatest show on earth? And it always comes back to, especially for me experientially, me.
Yeah.
I am running this show, and you know, I mean, I'm just so grateful. I'm grateful to everyone who's on the air tonight, sharing. I love this round table. Sarita, you're on
you
too,
man.
Sweetheart. Yeah, you're here, sweetie. I mean, we got the four of us. This is an exquisite group. Deb, thank you so much for bringing me back into ceremony Friday night. Truly, again, you did it with a gentle humility. You did it beautifully, beautifully. That was an important part for me to surrender, because that was, you know, it's so interesting because it was a tough night, and I'm wondering in myself, it's like, okay, you're going to have to go through that again. And the minute I wondered that, it's like, well, listen, the rules aren't going to change. Breathe and surrender, and that's the only thing you go into this, Goldie, with. That's it. Breathe and surrender. You know, the minute I think I'm a little cocky, which happens often, because that's my comfort zone. My comfort is to say, I know this. And nothing about expansion comes from the knowing. It comes from the surrendering. That is just, I really want to drill that kind of into the audience, that is life. Well, you know, whether we've experienced it yet or not, the surrender will shift everything. Everything in an alchemized way that the mind, it's not about the mind doing it. It's about divinity flowing through us. And in surrender, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we create so many blocks, you know. We block ourselves
exactly.
In so many different ways, you know. Our egos, or just whatever it is, you know. There's so many different paradigms, so many different things that we expect, you know what I mean? And we put ourselves in these boxes all the time.
Yeah, like letting go of attachment.
Allow yourself to be blocked. You talk a lot about your cockiness, but you have enough humility and enough wisdom to step back and say, well, that was that experience, and now I'm going to go try it a different way. And to do
Indeed.
It within 24 hours, I think, is wildly courageous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I could have done a second night after my first time. And, you know, if you ever have the chance to just sit, it's completely wonderful. The plant teaches you and talks to you. It was my first time just sitting and keeping, and I can't wait to do that again. It's just such an honor and privilege to sit in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Deb, you were awesome. I don't remember the gentleman's name. He was also awesome that night. I mean, there's just such a comfort, you know, when you're, like I said, I mean, I didn't even lose it. It's so funny because I lost it through my mouth on Friday night. I lost it through both ends on Saturday. I didn't even know I lost it through my backside, because by the time I lost it there, I was already in expansion. And it was like, you know, again, there's this humility that, you know, I went to the bathroom and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I'm like a child. I had an accident. And, you know, and then you go, well, so what, Colby? I mean, like, okay, on one level you had an accident. On another level, you know, you're flying around in the third eye space. You know, you gotta give some credit for that, too. It's like,
all you lucky callers are dying to do ayahuasca now, man.
I recommend, you know, just bring a few changes of clothes. That's definitely recommended. Yeah, well, and it's like, but it makes me think how much it brings us back. You know, children don't feel shame. You know, I mean, I've been a nanny for 20 years. I used to tell people, I don't kiss ass for a living, I wipe it. And, you know, they have no shame. You know, it's like, okay, let's go change my diaper. You know what? You know what I'm saying? It's like we have all these beliefs.
They have no shame.
Well, I think the ayahuasca brings you to a space where it's childlike innocence. It's completely devoid. There is no shame or guilt in ayahuasca. Like, we can bring it there, but she won't. She'll dance, but not with the guilt and the shame, only with the innocence and the expansion.
She shows us what illusion is and that those things are illusion. In my first ceremony, I had lived 45 years without ever feeling comfortable in my body and only feeling critical of my body. And I had my first out-of-body experience, and I looked down at my little body sitting there against the wall like a rag doll, and I had so much compassion and appreciation, and I just started thanking my body. All those years you worked the night shift, you gave birth, you were my vehicle, you did my bidding. I'm so grateful, and I watched as my body was being knit into a cocoon of light.
Ooh.
And the first time that I had the experience of purging from that, and I was totally blown away and surprised that my reaction to it was, isn't my body wonderfully made that it can always get rid of what no longer serves me?
Yay. Oh, that's an exquisite belief system. Yes. Yes.
That's a good
it's
one.
So true. I love the
I
way you speak
come up
of her.
With that on my own.
Yeah, no, that's hot, man. Mm-hmm. I love hearing women speak highly of their body, and not from necessarily meaning from the temple of function as well as beauty. You know, it's like not just I'm a size 2 and don't I look great, but that, you know, this is my vehicle. This is this lifetime that she gets me around. I mean, this is how I work my magic, whether it's healing, you know, a boo-boo on Sahana's knee or you know, soaring through the cosmos with my mother who's passed on. You know, it's this is the vehicle that's getting me there. And you are absolutely right that there is appreciation for the physicalness of this journey after ayahuasca. Hands down, I am more appreciative of my body than I've ever been.
Yeah.
But you spoke that beautifully, Deb. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh,
there's a man who was...
I know my first journey, it was... It just does so many things, you know. It's such a smart plant. It was just... I was so interested, you know, and I was afraid. I watched, you know, some things Terrence McKenna said, and I thought it was going to be the worst tasting thing in the world, and, you know... I just had so many fears. I thought I might go to the other side and, you know, might like it so much I might not come back. What if I die? And, you know, I told all my family I love you, you know, just in case I don't come back. The first time I'm like, oh, my goodness, I've never really tripped before, you know, like.
Oh, you know. Wow.
So it
was
just a whole different thing. And I was expecting to go on this, like, super LSD journey, you know, for, like, 20 hours and just, like, be in this space. But I didn't have any visuals, you know, the first time.
Okay.
It was just, I sat across from him, I was in the furthest corner of the room, and, you know, once he started singing, it just activated it within me. It was kind of like Ghostbusters, you know, when they had that little slime, then they play the music, and then it started jumping around in the toaster. You know, like, once he started singing, it just, like, went through all of my veins. I could just, like, feel it, like, jumping. I'm like, oh, what is this? You know, it was just going all throughout my body, you know, and it was just so physical. And it was beautiful that night. I didn't hear him ask for a second drink, you know. But the second night, you know, was just amazing. You know, he actually he called me to him twice, and I didn't hear him. But someone told me, he called you, and then he actually had to come to me. I was just, my whole body, I was going through these kriyas, this, like, kundalini experience, and I was totally shaking, like, every part of my hand, you know, I felt every cell of my body. But it's good that the shaman's always there. He's just always holding space, you know. And if you're ever going through something, you know, he's right there. He'll come to you or do all these things. But after the first two experiences, you know, I got into this major car accident. You know, someone just rear-ended me. I couldn't really walk. I couldn't move. And I heard that another shaman was going to be in Philadelphia, you know, the next weekend. It's such a painful journey driving like 4 hours to get there. Every single muscle of my body, you know, no cruise controls, just awful. But after that, you know, I just found the healing abilities of the plant, you know. It's just so amazing. After the first, I did it back-to-back my first two times and the second two in Philadelphia. And, you know, all of the pain just like, it just went away. It was as if I just had therapy for like a year, you know.
Wow.
It's just so beautiful. You know, just like the whole thing with the Lyme disease. It just heals on so many different levels, you know, whatever is necessary for that moment.
That's amazing.
You know?
It's so amazing to, you know, it's like, you know, an intelligence. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because, you know, I've always known how I feel amazing in the woods, and I know that ayahuasca is clearly a master plan, but I really believe that there is something to the plant kingdom, and I'm going to use the word kingdom with all emphasis. You know, they give us the oxygen, they grow our food, you know, they irrigate our soil. It's like, boy, have I personally underestimated their wisdom, and just recently, I'd say within the last 10 years, I mean, basically, when my mom died, the only space I felt safe was in the woods. I mean, there was not a person on the planet that comforted me. It was only the trees and the bugs and the spiders and the dirt and the leaves. I mean, it was like, you know, it's just so, I think we underestimate through conditioning just what these plants and anything from, you know, your basic house plant that oxygenates your office or your room to ayahuasca that is actually healing Lyme disease and car accidents. You know, it's like, wow, that is just, you know, I dedicate the show to the magic of not just ayahuasca, but all the plant kingdom, and can't emphasize enough for people to connect. And the beach is fabulous. I don't want to take anything away from, you know, the ions that are running around in the beach. But the plants, the trees, the forests, I so highly recommend you, everybody, spend some time with these amazing beings, because it's a language, when you know it, is expansive all in of its own. Because I think that's another thing that prepared me for this journey, was spending the last 10 years in the woods. And you know, and I'm not, I mean, I would roll around in the dirt. I would make love to trees and rocks. I mean, I was connecting out there. You know, so when I was ready to drink this, because I was like you, Sarita, I thought, there was one woman that when she went up to get the drink and then went back to her seat was gagging. And I was like, uh-oh, you know, what is this going to taste like? Because, you know, I've done like Chinese medicine herbs at acupuncture places that are like, they're pretty, they're not exactly inviting in flavor. I guess that they're doing work, but they're not invite. But the ayahuasca did not offend me, I mean, at all.
Oh, really? I thought it was awful.
Yeah, it was so much better.
Yeah, no,
than
maybe,
You know,
it reminded me of the Chinese herbs, though, definitely. Definitely.
The molasses, you know.
And it's
a lot of that molasses kind of thickness.
Yeah.
But it was so much better than I thought. I tried so many awful things just to prepare myself, because I was like, well, what if I drink it and I spit it in the shaman's face because I don't like it? You know, like, I hate to do that. You know, I had all of those thoughts. You know, and I was just trying to prepare myself, drinking the worst.
Oh.
The worst things ever. Mug root.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
tortured yourself. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
I'm glad. You know, it's
funny what we do to prepare, isn't it? It's like preparing for battle. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Well, but then again, it's funny. Maybe that's why you didn't have the negative experience, because you had prepared in that way.
Yeah, and I had so many preparations throughout life. You know, there's so many things that brought me to that point. You know, like, I can imagine if I cut out so many stories from my life, I probably wouldn't be prepared for this, you know. But so many, I think there's so many strange situations, you know, like, nothing is impossible, you know, like, all these paranormal things you see on TV, all these things, everything has some sort of truth. Like, you know, I don't believe anything I see. Everything is just an illusion. So I'm just open to so many things. And without those experiences, I don't think I'd be, you know, ready for these things. I tell so many people, you know, and you give so many people information, but not everyone is ready yet. You know what I mean? But it's good to just put it out there, you know. If you're really looking for yourself, you want to know the truth. So many people want to hold on to these illusions, you know. They're nice, you know, all this temptation out there, you know. It's so easy to get addicted to these things, you know, but they're impermanent, you know, and anything that's impermanent isn't real, you know. So just gotta let those things go and just, you know, just be a channel for the good of whatever it is, that divine.
Yeah, self-expression. I mean, I'm very curious to see how this, you know, manifests, you know, just from a daily perspective. You know, I mean, I'm not doing quote-unquote healing work right now. I mean, not client-wise. But, you know, holding Sahana's hand and she's cracking up, it's like, that's just an interesting, you know, I just like noting, you know, any work that I do that I feel has changed me. One of the things Bashar has taught me is all change is permanent change. You know, there is no going back. The minute we have an experience, it's changed us. The minute we have a thought, it's changed us.
Yeah, and get to live it every day, how it's going to show up for you. Every single day it's going to show
exactly
you something new.
Like it's compounding itself on top of itself. And, you know, having an inner journey. Because I remember, like, I've been on a spaceship. And I remember one of the things I used to tell my friends is, I no longer have to say, I want the government to confirm this. I don't need the government to confirm it. I confirm it. I was on a spaceship. That's all I need. And it's not that I've ever looked for an organized religion to confirm God, but what I got confirmed is my godness, my I am presence.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I think, is just something you can't even place a value on that.
Yeah, I don't know a greater gift, honestly. I don't know a greater gift.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's, I'm, you know, because I think once, it's so funny, because once I know I am God, it's okay to die. You know, there's like no fear in that anymore, because God can't die. God can shape forms, but God can't die. You know, that's one of those great rules about being God. You can't die.
I would like to share a spaceship story if I could.
I'll share that with you privately. I will absolutely share that with you.
I want to tell you one of mine.
Oh, okay. Is it from an ayahuasca journey?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know it until about 20 years later.
Okay.
So I was a little kid, and I was spending the night at my friend's house, and I woke up in the morning, and her mom said, "Nicole, I saw a spaceship in your backyard last night." And I went, "Ha-ha, yeah, right." Well, I asked her about 10 years later, and she said, "I'm telling you the truth." And so I went to my brothers, and I said, "Hey, did you ever experience a spaceship in our yard?" And they both, like, went pale white and said, "One night we woke up, and the room was full of light, and there was this humming sound." And I went, "Oh, my God." Okay, so clearly I wasn't in the room because I was spending the night across the road at my friend's house. But for 10 years, I asked the question, what was that all about? And one night, in an ayahuasca ceremony, I got my answer. The entire night, I was sitting in my room as a child with my brothers. I was the oldest. And I was experiencing being the older sister who comforted her brothers through all of their fears, through all of the bedwetting, through every nightmare, telling stories. That was my entire night's work of ceremony. Until the end of the ceremony, when one thing that was very definitive for me at the beginning of my ceremonies was always in the silence, there's this loud humming sound. And I always thought, you know, that it's the sound of the universe, you know, the hum of the universe. Well,
right.
The ceremony ends, and this girl who kept disappearing all night, she says, "I looked down at the floor in the middle of ceremony, and I realized that we were in this great spaceship, and we were hurtling through space."
Oh, wow.
And everything clicked, that the spaceship that went into my yard that night when I was 11 years old was me at 31 going back to tell my brothers that everything was going to be okay.
Ooh, I love that.
Oh, Nicole, I got you. You and this time traveling, I love that you bring clarity to the, because I'm learning about it, but your exquisiteness is confirming it. Oh,
you can read
it
in my new book.
Well, when you write the book, we'll have have you on the show, most definitely. But it's exactly, because that's exactly how we time travel, throughout our own experience.
Yes.
Right. That is, that's profound. I mean, that
I
is. Yeah. Now, what journey was that? Do you remember what journey that was?
Yep, that was my fifth journey.
Okay. Okay.
Wow.
Yep.
Because would you agree that the more journeys you do, the navigation gets a little bit, I don't know how to put it, more clear?
That would have to be true. You have more experience.
Yeah.
Right, more time in that kind of space, or spaceless space.
Well, you know, listen, from my perspective, when I went in on my knees from the very beginning, you know, you know, if you have that information to know that it'll be so much easier to just accept what's going to happen, whatever happens, that makes it easier. And the more you know from every journey that you take, unless you're not a smart person, of course it would have to be easier, right?
Right. Well, I'm talking about actually navigate, because I wasn't even quite sure how to ask a question. I mean, meaning, I swear, as soon as I dropped into expansion, you know, I immediately looked for the handrails. It's like, whoa, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm a little, I was frightened. It's so funny because, you know, I really, like I said, my cockiness, I come off as such a, you know, I will boldly go where no one has gone before. And then the minute I'm there, I'm like, okay, where's the tether? Get out
of here. You know, to be honest, that's the job of your ayahuascaro, to get you ready for that. I don't know anything about the guy that you went with, and I have no, you know, opinion whatsoever, but that's, you know, learning how to do it and anticipating what's coming, that's up to your ayahuascaro before you go.
Yeah,
I think
the breath is so important, but coming in with an intention, you know, like, are you trying to, whatever kind of work you're trying to do with yourself, or if you're trying to do any work, you know, but, you know, having an intention, I think is important, and that'll set the framework, you know, like, she's going to teach whatever she needs to teach you, you know what I mean? Like, you might not be able to control it in that way, but to just have, like, you know, a direction on where you're going, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to learn something in this type of chapter, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think what I initially did is I just wanted to see it, because I'm such a, most of my intuition is a knowingness, but it's not a visual. It's just, I just know things and trust it, you know, and it have often, you know, jumped off of bridges, made left turns out of nowhere, and it has always served me. But on the ayahuasca, I was like, I want to see. And it clearly showed me. I mean, there was sight. But now I'm realizing what I want to go into, you know, in November is really I want to know. Because it's not just seeing. Now I want to know, you know, certain aspects of self. I want to know myself as the divine creator.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want that experience.
Yeah.
Well, the experience is always going to be different as far as navigating it. We don't navigate it. We can focus and concentrate and breathe, and that's the very best way to prepare for any ceremony and to go through it as easily as we can. But as in one of the shaman songs, he says, we are the waves always rising and falling, and we are. And we aren't ever going to arrive because it's a journey and it's infinite. So thinking that we're going to progress through it like we do a career ladder or a skill that we learn in a physical dimension, we are not. We are going to
No, that's so true, Deb.
Exactly.
You're right on, girlfriend. Yes. I like that. It's thinking
a career
you're going to progress through it like a
Oh, it's only.
I love when I try to take, you know, a totally expansive experience and, you know, and put it in, like you said, a nice little box, you know. Like, yeah. It's just not going to happen that way. That is funny.
It's
so, Deb, are you participating in November?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
I think we'll probably go on Friday night.
Friday night? Okay. Sarita, are you going?
I am. And I just, you know, I just called a friend out of the blue yesterday. I hadn't talked to her in over a year. We used to work together. And I just mentioned the experience, and she's interested in going, which is wonderful. So I think I'll be going just maybe, I want to go both. I might go both, but I do want to just bring her, you know. So I might just go on Saturday, you know, if you know. So
it's all in divine
Saturday,
order.
Possibly both days.
Cool. Yeah, me and Trish, we're in for both days. You know, we're newbies at this. Trish had to work tonight. That's the only reason why she's not on the call. But she was like, I'm going to listen to the archives. I was like, oh, no, definitely.
Definitely
it really is quite...
I can't wait to the jungle.
Yeah, I so thank everybody for sharing, because there's a comfort in, you know, it's interesting, too, was James didn't show up tonight. It was all females on the call tonight, which is, that's just a very interesting association of surrender and, you know, letting go of control. That's such a divine feminine aspect. And I'm not saying that, you know, our beautiful men that were involved in ceremony in ayahuasca, you know, aren't, shucks, the ayahuascarian was male. But I find it interesting that the call tonight, it was all about the divine girls sharing about the divine feminine, because I'm always excited as we strengthen our own resolve. And like what you were saying, Deb, about, you know, being in love with your body and, you know, having just the awareness that we are determining factors of this experience, not the culture, not the tribe, quote unquote. And I'm talking about the tribe that we grew up in, not the tribe that we're finding ourselves in now. You know, these are really important to teach our children and our children's children, because that is the heaven on earth frequency, that all sizes are beautiful and all experiences about humility create a harmony, simply because that's what harmony is. Harmony is a surrendering. Harmony is not a control over. It's a surrender.
Letting go.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I'm really, I mean, there's such a peace in my stomach right now. It's awesome. And listen, everybody mark their calendars if you're open to it. Definitely. 11/11 is the first Thursday after November. You know, let's do this again. Suzanne, where do you live? What state are you in?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh my God. Can I write your number down and call you privately?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, because perhaps you want to, you know, join us.
Oh, I might. It's a possibility. It's a possibility.
Okay.
That would be beautiful.
Yes, I can I'll share with you anyway some details, and, you know, you choose for yourself, of course, but...
Yeah. You want me to send it to you on Facebook?
Yeah, no, you're on my switch. Can I call this number, the number you're calling from?
Oh, yeah, this is my home number, sure.
Okay, good, yeah. All right, we have the divine 7 minutes left, so I want everybody, if you have anything to plug, anything you're going to be doing, not necessarily ayahuascan, or you got a book coming out, or you got a course you're teaching, or anybody, all right, we'll go one at a time. All right, well, Suzanne, I guess you're not working right now, so blessings.
Yes, thanks. Actually, yeah.
Oh, please,
yeah,
no,
good.
You have something
good
to share? Go ahead.
I'm just happy to, you know, be a part of this phone call tonight. It's been very interesting and good to talk to other people about their experiences, and I thank everybody else for sharing them.
Oh, namaste. Sister, you have a great presence about you. I'm really glad you're on tonight's call. I hope you make November 11th call. Whether you come or not, I hope you make November 11th call. I really like your presence here.
Oh, thank you. It would be an honor.
You're welcome. Deb and or Nicole, do you guys have anything you want to share?
I just want to thank you for allowing me to be a part of this. It was wonderful. Yay!
Yay! Deb, you are exquisite, girlfriend. Please, go ahead, Nicole.
Well, we have a friend who is a nuclear physicist, and he shines a completely expansive light on this experience that is so amazing. So we're going to ask him to join us on the call on 11/11.
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I mean, how auspicious is that, 11/11? You know, we can even open it up. If anybody has any experiences between now and then of any, you know, anything divine, we're certainly, you know, this is an open forum. Anything magical is welcome. Serena, do you want to talk about anything with your show coming up or anything like that?
Oh, not just yet with the show, but
okay.
Yes, I do offer, you know, I'm a Reiki master. I do lots of energy work and things like that.
Okay, do you have a contact, any kind of contact information where people can get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can email me at...
okay, you gotta read it?
Yeah, it's Syreeta, it's syreeta.white@gmail.com. That email will change, you know, eventually, but that's a way to get a hold of me at the moment.
Okay.
If you're interested, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful talking about this subject. I can't wait till after 11/11, probably have some wonderful new experiences to share. You know, but it's wonderful. It helps energy work so much, you know. It's just beautiful.
It does help energy work. I mean, it would be impossible not to. It just, awareness would simply make everything become more, you know, aware.
It's
I don't even know.
It's just ceremony, working on the world and just, you know, working on the universe. It's just a beautiful thing, you know, and, you know, just working on individuals, it's just so much more profound. You know, when you work on the universe and you work on a person, it's awesome.
Well, they become the universe. That's so true, too. So symbolic. Suzanne, do you do healing work?
Here's a funny thing. I actually haven't worked on anybody, but I am trained to be a healer in the Inca tradition.
Really? Okay. Oh, I wish James was here. James is also trained in Inca as well.
He's a mesa carrier?
I believe he is. I know he's worked with Incan shamans.
Okay.
I don't know to the extent, but yeah. Yeah, because I'm getting also that, I mean, you know, seeing that we're all basically in the New York, Connecticut, New Jersey area, you know, I would love it if, you know, boy, imagine all of us kind of sitting around on a full moon.
That's
with our drums.
Oh, that's awesome.
With drums, with presents, you know, at this point, just showing up sounds like, you know, the light would clearly be shining and, you
sure.
know. Yeah. And it's great because now Nicole and Deb and Syreeta both are connected on Facebook now. I sent a friend request to you, Syreeta.
Oh, yeah.
That we can, you know, I'll bring us all together into an email. Let's, you know.
Okay.
Shucks. Yeah. Let's, wow, imagine if we were all in one space on 11/11 doing the show.
Or, you know what, 10/10 is coming up too, girls. Let's not forget that.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good, yes. Is there, well, I guess it's the global intention is basically, you know, peace and love and acceptance on the planet. That's what I'm going with. Because, you know, that was an interesting thing. As soon as the second ceremony ended that night, I mean, literally, as soon as it ended, I went downstairs, I went to the bathroom, and my period began at that point. And so what I did is I saved them, and I'm going to do a blood ceremony on Sunday.
Okay.
Figuring that it's got all the ayahuasca in it. And as I transform, it's in the serum. It's in my blood. So I'm going to honor transformation and alchemy.
I think it's a very good day for ceremony. And my understanding is that it's the first of three gateways: 11/11/11 and 12/12/12.
Yeah.
Coming up to we all know we've been shifting for a long time. It's accelerating like mad now, and you know, honestly, do I need to know that I have to prepare for my retirement account? Because frankly, I don't know that we're going to be exactly living this way by the time I'm ready to retire.
I'm exactly with you, Susan. I think we're in the same age group. I agree. You know,
yeah.
And it's funny because I have my father, like, so conscious. You know, he's a Jewish retired engineer. You can't get more conscious about your IRA than him. And here he is with his daughter that, you know, I mean, it's like a little shamanic, you know. You can tell we love each other, we completely accept each other, but we don't understand each other.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I think it's about living in the moment, and I have already set the intention. For this lifetime, when I'm complete, I will walk out of this body as effortlessly as a master leaves a room. I mean, from what I'm hearing, if I do it, you know, from the space, there won't even be a body left. It'll actually, it just, it won't be part of this dimension. I won't be physically part of this dimension, but it will be by a conscious choice, not a...
I'm going to write to you. I'm going to write to you on Facebook. There's a book that I think everybody on the planet should read right now. It's so important. It's called
Okay.
Dear God, What's Happening to Us by Lynn Grabhorn.
Okay.
I'm not
familiar with him or her. I don't even know
if
that's
her.
It's her.
It's a pretty far out idea, but I'm telling you, it speaks to me. I know it's true in my bones. It's about eons of manipulation of humanity and the battle of dark and light. It's not necessarily about God, but it is creation, and it's about what's happening now, contracts that were made and broken, and now we can have some information that's been hidden from us for a long time. I know it sounds really freaky, but, you know.
Listen, we've been talking about spaceships.
Yeah.
Nothing's really freaky. It's all creation.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Nothing's freaky. It's all honorable.
Yeah.
We're not even streaming anymore. I love you guys. I love you gals. Ladies, thank you, thank you, thank you. Truly exquisite. Please mark on your calendar. If you can make it from 8 to 10 on the 11-11, we're going to do it again. And I would love everybody that joined tonight to come back next month. That would be exquisite.
Yeah. Okay, girls. Nice meeting you all.
You too.
Pleasure, Suzanne. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Sarita and Dev and Nicole and anybody else who talked tonight. Did somebody else talk tonight? I don't remember. Oh, Stephanie. And Stephanie. We love you, Stephanie. She hung up. She probably had a client. I love you guys. I will see you on Facebook and talk to you guys in a month.
Yes, okay. Love, everyone.
All right.
Bye.
Namaste. Bye now.